Last Sunday, we read about how Jesus called his first four disciples, the four fishermen. He walked up to them, he invited them to follow him and to be fishers of men. And it changed their life completely. Last Sunday was also National Bible Sunday, so we reflected on the importance and the extraordinary power of the Word of God. In today's gospel, we again see the power of Jesus' words, or as it says here, the authority of his words. And this time, the impact is not just on four fishermen, it's on everyone. He's teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, something like the gathering we have right here, gathering to worship, and the priest speaks to the people about the Word of God. So Jesus was doing this. And it says here, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We're not told what Jesus said here on this occasion, but whatever it was, it astonished them. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say, he astonished them. Not just his words or just his ideas, but Jesus himself was astonishing. He speaks not simply as an expert, someone who's been taught well and who remembers what he's been taught. He doesn't simply repeat holy words. He doesn't quote anyone or refer to anybody's authority, which is what the scribes would do. Rather, he speaks, he himself, as the source of his own wisdom and authority. There's a power that comes forth from his person, comes forth in his words, which is astonishing. He's like a prophet speaking in the name of God himself, which is what Moses spoke about in today's first reading, a prophet who speaks in the name of God. And this is astonishing. What do we find it astonishing? Do we find Jesus astonishing, authoritative, convincing? We'll come back to that question in a minute. There's more in this passage. Not only does Jesus impress people with his teaching, but he also drives out an unclean spirit. That's the next thing that happens. In fact, he does it very easily. All he does is say, quiet, come out of him, and the evil spirit leaves. And once again, St. Mark tells us the effect that this has on the crowd. All were amazed and asked one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. So the people were astonished, the people were amazed, and it is amazing. But are we amazed? Are we amazed? Now, we notice that this passage records not only the reaction of the people, but also the reaction of the unclean spirit, the demon. The spirit is also deeply impressed by Jesus, but in a negative way. What does this demon say? He cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" You can hear the terror in his voice. Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's what the demon says. So we have before us now two opposite reactions to the public ministry of Jesus. The people are amazed at his authority, and the demons are terrified of it. And then there's us. We're the ones sitting here now. What's our response to the authority of Jesus? Are we amazed or are we terrified? Most of the time, neither of those two responses. The modern response is largely indifference. Indifference, meaning it doesn't really make much difference to us. Well, we live in a time that's, it is a little different than the time of Jesus. We live in a world full of amazing things. And also a lot of terrifying things. Technology is amazing. Satellites are amazing. Digital communication and cell phones and GPS, whatever they call that, tracking and computer-generated images, it's all amazing. We move from one amazing thing to another. And it's all very entertaining, it's all very distracting. The digital age, as we know, has made it possible to multiply words and images almost without limit. And so we're flooded with them all day and all night. And after a while, they're not that amazing to us. After all, the problem with these amazing things, even if they are technologically advanced, is that they don't have any moral authority behind them. They're just somebody's clever achievement or someone's opinion put in a very interesting way. And most of these things are actually almost worthless and ultimately powerless in the spiritual sense. Your cell phone isn't going to drive out any evil spirits. Your laptop isn't going to heal anyone. Something like fireworks, that's the image that came to my mind. Fireworks are really amazing, they're beautiful, they're loud, a lot of noise and color. But after they blow up and the wind comes along and blows them away, and we go home and forget all about it. They look powerful, but they're not really. No lasting effect. So in the modern age, Jesus and his gospel do not look particularly amazing to people. And not terrifying either, except when people feel threatened. And now when people feel threatened, or they think that their pleasure will be taken, or their control will be taken, then they get terrified. But for the most part, people find the whole issue of the gospel or the whole message of Jesus as rather boring and unimportant. And so they will say, and I'm sure you've heard people say things like this, well, you can believe if you want to. Sure, you can pray. Fine, you can pray if you want to. Go right ahead and pray. Do what you want. Doesn't it make any difference? If you really want to make a difference, this is the implied message, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want answers to today's problems, well, then you look to science and you look to technology. That's where the authority is now. The power now. The COVID-19 pandemic is an obvious example. Everybody's talking about the pandemic all the time, including me. We're always talking about it. Talking about protocols and talking about the whatever, vaccines and surges and variants and testing and tracing and all this stuff. It's in the news all the time. Where do we think the real solution to the pandemic is? Where do we really expect relief from this crisis? Seems to be baffling governments, seems to be baffling scientists for the most part. Sure, now there are some vaccines, thanks be to God. And let's pray that we make good use of them. But who's really in charge of this thing? God or man? Who's really going to solve this problem? God or man? Is God going to work a sudden and dramatic miracle, or is man going to come up with his science, going to come up with a solution? Most people think God is not going to do anything. We have to do it all ourselves. That's how most people think, including believers. What do you think? That we're supposed to solve this problem ourselves. Let's do the research. Let's follow all the protocols, and then we'll eventually pull ourselves out of the problem. That's how most people think. What if God wants to work through us? What if God is guiding us to the solution that he has in mind in a way that builds us up in love? We can take care of one another. We can help one another. What if the miracle God wants to work is actually already taking place and we're not even noticing it. That's the perspective faith gives us. Something we can't see, but we know is happening. This is a big challenge for us. I know it's a challenge for us believers. We can't change anybody. We can't force anybody to believe what we believe. We can't convince them. Certainly can't impress them very much. But God doesn't seem to be worried about that. He doesn't force anyone. He's not trying to impress anyone or convince anyone. He invites everyone to the adventure of faith. And he likes to do it through us. He likes to invite people to believe and to follow him through us, through our example, through our witness, through our love, through our own faith. We are the ones whom God uses to introduce to others the possibility that the real power, the real authority at work in the world is that of God. The God most fully and perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ. So the question is not how will others respond or fail to respond to the authority of Jesus, but how do we respond? How are we responding to the authority and power of Jesus? Did you notice the psalm that we responded to today? If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's how we're not supposed to respond. Don't harden your hearts to the word, to the voice of God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Listen and obey. Listen and follow, like the apostles did last Sunday. So how are we to respond? Not to respond with terror. To live in constant fear. That's like the demons. That's how they live. They're constantly afraid of the authority of Jesus. They're afraid that their kingdom is going to be destroyed. If we're living in fear of our world being destroyed, we're not living in faith. So don't live in terror. Don't live in indifference either, as if, well, it doesn't make any difference. That's the way the world lives for the most part. No, the way to respond is with faith. Faith. Confidence in the authority of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. And then, cooperating with his Spirit, we dedicate ourselves to loving service of him and of one another. That's the way. And when we follow him that way, then he can do whatever he wants. We can live in amazement at how he works in the world, even today.